You really, folks, need to take the time to educate yourself on Measure 3. Get all the information you can out there on it. Lacey Anderson joins us, spokesperson on the legal side for Brighter Future Alliance. Lacey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Scott?
I'm wonderful. So I want our listeners to know everything they need to know about this. So let me start just to have you give us a little bit of an overview on why it is the Brighter Future Alliance saw fit to say we're concerned with how that got on the ballot.
Absolutely. Well, I think everyone has seen the number of news stories out there of people frustrated about this measure. They felt they were misled into signing it. The Secretary of State's office received numerous complaints that people weren't being told everything that was in this measure. And the basis of the lawsuit is in fact, the point that they didn't even include a printout of the statutory provision that they cite in the measure. And that's required under North Dakota law. And so our lawsuit is saying, you know, this shouldn't have been approved. The people who signed this didn't know what they were signing, and it shouldn't be on the ballot.
Who are the people that are behind this measure? Now, you know, I'm not talking about the local people who are basically on the payroll to be sort of the faces of this. But, you know, the people that are the money, that are the influence, who's pushing this?
This is not a homegrown effort. This is definitely far left, out-of-state individuals with lots of money from, you know, West Coast, East Coast groups. These are groups that supported anti-DAPL movements. You've got people connected to Planned Parenthood. These are radical left that are trying to push this measure in a number of states, conservative states, to get their foot in the door to try to get their candidates elected. And all that information, you can dig into the information on who's behind this, but it is not a homegrown effort here on this measure.
I've had a hard time following all the different pieces of this. There's sort of like five things that are really unrelated, but they're all very dangerous. They packed into this and got on the ballot. And one of them is splitting Senate districts into two halves. They're trying to do that due to the current legislative makeup and two representatives for every citizen. What is the intent there? What's going on there? What will that do?
Well, that takes the power away from your district, and you lose a representative immediately. So now your Senate district is split, and depending where you live, you now have one representative, but you're keeping the same number in the House. So it's taking power away. It's taking your options away for who you have to represent you, and it's giving more opportunity for their candidates to get on the ballot and get elected.
So think about that. I mean, these are things, again, you don't go to work every day thinking about the size of legislative districts and, you know, splitting Senate districts into two and why they're trying to do that and who then represents you. But these are things you need to think of because they're trying to do it. I've also read that ranked voting, where they do that ranked choice voting, something like it passed in Fargo, and it's Fargo. So, that's why it happened. This would do it throughout any race, not the federal races, but every other race in North Dakota. I've read that if they do that, you basically get extreme candidates. You get a lot of them on the ballot. Everybody gets a vote. Get two or three, ballots compared to my one. How does that work? That, you know, the extreme candidates get more ballots compared to the one. I'm scared about this, but I want to know more about it.
Yeah, it's bad news. And it hasn't worked in a number of places across the country. There's been a lot of complaints about it. There's only one state that even does it. What happens is, well, first of all, you don't have to identify what party you're with. So when you go in to vote, you don't know these candidates. You don't know their background or what they necessarily believe in. And you rank your candidates based on, you know, who you want to vote for. If your top candidate or the top candidate does not get a majority, then the vote drops. The bottom candidate's thrown out, and the second and third highest, those votes are added up. So you have a scenario where your second highest candidate can end up winning. And so the fringe candidates that are on there, whether it's someone who might even be socialist, Marxist, those people who support them can end up getting two votes to your one vote. And there's been a number of circumstances where you have someone winning without a majority of the vote.
Are you paying attention to this, folks? You grasping all this? It's really incredible. It is. Let's talk a little bit about the political affiliation of folks. this measure would allow people to hide what political party they're part of. So even if a party says, I want you on there, I mean, the Green Party says, hey, you're going to be my candidate, Lacey. The voter doesn't necessarily know that. Is that right?
That's right.
And that makes it, I mean, that's legal. It's in this language.
Absolutely. You do not have to identify what party you are with.
You are, as I mentioned at the top of this, trying to get a legal action to stop this. Talk a little bit about your legal position, your legal argument, I guess, if you will. You're alleging that the sponsors broke the law in gathering the signatures. We heard that from our listeners a lot, where there was, you want to help veterans to be able to, you know, vote, which they already do. And, you know, so it was disingenuous and it hid the other things, obviously. And obviously the measure itself and how it was written is in question. So talk a little bit about the argument that you'll make in court. What's the clause? Where, you know, where does the battle go? How soon will we know? Tell me what a little bit about the legal side.
Absolutely. So aside from all the other egregious things that happened when they gathered signatures, the key piece of the lawsuit is there is longstanding precedent in North Dakota under the Dyer v. Hall case that says if you cite a statutory provision in a petition, you must include the entire language of that reference, of that statute. And they did not do this. Not one of those signatories to the petition saw the statutory language that they referenced in the petition. And I mean, people aren't walking around with a century code in their pocket when they're at Walmart waiting to sign one of these things. And that's why this law is in place. And that is why it shouldn't have been approved. That's the main basis of this lawsuit. And we believe it shouldn't be on the ballot for that reason.
When will you know whether or not you prevail? What's the next step?
There will be oral arguments, and then the court will need to decide before the end of the month when ballots need to be prepared. So it's a short time frame, but you know it's something that I think is very important. This will affect voters. This isn't just about you know, the process for how they did it. This is about voters here going forward in November, knowing what they're voting on. So it's extremely important, and the Supreme Court has a short timeline here, but we think it's a pretty clear case.
Appreciate the update today, and we'll stay on top of this. Thank you, Lacey.
Thanks, Scott.
Lacey's the legal spokesperson for the Brighter Future Alliance. They'll be battling for common sense on Measure 3 to take this on. Inform yourself on this, folks. Please do.